of WAGE.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington, D.C., that the government and its lapdog supporters in the media don't want you to know about. I'm your host, Mark Levine, and I used to work in Congress, and I was amazed at all the information we had there that was never conveyed to the American people. And that's why I'm here on the air, giving you the Inside Scoop. Topic today, gay rights. And it's been a very busy summer with regard to gay rights. In fact, some are calling this already Gay Freedom Summer, reminding us of 1964, when large numbers of African Americans were registered to vote for the first time. It has been a lot going on for gay Americans. We have, as I'm sure you've seen on the news, last week the Episcopal Church ordained its first openly gay bishop. Also, it approved marriage rituals for gay and lesbian Episcopalians. Last month, Canada became the third nation, and the first in America, to allow gay Canadians equal rights with straight Canadians, including the right to marry. And my sources tell me, and I'll give you the inside scoop on this, that the Supreme Court of Massachusetts is very likely to legalize gay marriage in that state before the end of this year. Now, President Bush has condemned this, the Pope has condemned this, but it seems to be going on, and that's not all. Those of you that have been watching the air, listening to popular culture, know that there are all kinds of programs talking about gay people that just haven't done so before. And, of course, the most important freedom was probably last month in the case of Lawrence v. Texas, when the United States Supreme Court struck down laws in 13 states, including here in Virginia, that criminalized private consensual sex acts between adults. In Virginia, that would have even applied between a husband and wife. So I want to talk with you. I want to know from you, what do you think? Do you think that these freedoms are great, that in fact this is about time, that the 60s for black people and the 70s for women, that the O's is the decade for gay Americans? Or do you think that, hey, homosexuality is a sin and the government has every right to punish it and put people in jail even for committing gay sex? We're going to talk on the air with Jay Beatty. Now, Jay Beatty is a woman that I met personally. She was going to attend an ex-gay convention here in Northern Virginia. I was actually going to protest that convention. And we came and we spoke to each other, and we certainly disagree on this issue. But I like Jay. We can disagree respectfully, and you'll be able to have a chance to talk with her and with me about these issues. If you want to call in and ask me a question or ask Jay a question, dial in locally. The number is 703-777-1200. If you're listening on the web and you're outside the Northern Virginia, metropolitan Washington, D.C. area, you can call 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Again, the local number, 703-777-1200. And the toll-free number, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also email me, and I welcome your emails. A lot of times I read those on the air, by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. And we're going to take your questions and comments, and we're going to talk with Jay Beatty and all about all these incredible events going on for gay rights, whether you're for or against them. But first, I got to give you the scoop. Here's the inside scoop. Well, this week, with Congress in its annual August recess, most of the news came from outside of Washington, D.C. In fact, it seems like most of the media is focused on the state used to be my home state, California. And they're putting a lot of attention on a certain Austrian-American bodybuilder who apparently is running for governor. But, you know, I question whether he's the best guy for the job. This is a guy, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who has absolutely no political experience. And when asked on, interviews, what was his solution to fix California's problems, he didn't have any. But he said he'd come up with a plan and come up, later. Well, I was looking at the other candidates on the ballot, and there are 158 candidates thus far. Now, maybe a few will drop out. But of the 158 candidates, why focus on Arnold Schwarzenegger? Why not focus on the very first candidate on the ballot? Her name is Angeline. She doesn't have a last name, but those of us that have lived in Los Angeles know her well. Angeline appears on billboards throughout the city of Los Angeles with her, how shall we say, ample cleavage showing very clearly on the billboards. She's a model. We don't know her age because, unlike the other candidates for governor of California, she wrote her age on her official form as ageless, quote unquote. But Angeline, true, has no experience in government, but neither does Arnold. And after all, Angeline may be the only candidate running that has a bigger chest than Arnold. Or there's also Gary Coleman. He's running, too. Now, Gary Coleman could look out for the little people of California. A 4'5" actor who used to play Arnold on Different Strokes. This is a guy who can really look out for the little guy. Maybe Larry Flint is the best candidate. I mean, this guy, the publisher of Hustler magazine, yeah, he's, you know, peddles porn, but, again, Arnold always talks about his business. My understanding is Larry Flint makes even more money than Arnold Schwarzenegger. If that's what it takes, making money, maybe he's the guy. You know, I really want to talk at length about this, but our focus today is on gay rights. So I'm going to save this for next week, and we're going to talk about what Republicans have against normal election procedures. Why did they seem to never want to play by the rules, always want to try to change elections after they occur, and not play by the rules? And so we're going to talk about that next week. But just one thing for thought. I remember just, seemed like less than a month ago when all the radio clones, you know, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and all my competitors, right? All of them were complaining because Barbara Streisand and Janine Garofalo had the audacity to give their opinion on the war publicly. And they said, look, what do these people know? They're actors. They don't know anything. Barbara Streisand, Janine Garofalo, you shouldn't even be speaking in public. You don't know anything. Well, now we have an actor who also doesn't know anything about governing that wants to run for governor, but they're very supportive of that. We had other things go on this week. We had the winner of the election of 2000, the guy who won both the popular vote in the United States and the vote in Florida, if they count all the votes in all the counties. You know, of course, who I'm talking about, former Vice President Al Gore. And Al Gore gave a very important speech about the Bush administration. And I don't know whether Al's been listening to my show or not. Probably he hasn't, I admit that. But he pointed out a lot of the same kinds of things that I've been pointing out on the air. All the lies the administration has used to go to war, about the economy. Let me quote from Al Gore. He said, quote, "The president's mishandling of and selective use of the best evidence available on the threat posed by Iraq is pretty much the same as the way he intentionally distorted the best available evidence on climate change and rejected the best available evidence on the threat posed to America's economy by his tax and budget proposals." Basically, the point that Gore is making is that this is a guy who, unlike Bill Clinton, who would send out his cabinet officers and people to find out the facts, bring it to him, and let him make an informed decision, this is a guy who makes his decision first and then sends out all his lackeys in government to justify that decision. Now, again, I don't know whether it's Bush making a decision. People I've talked to say it's really Karl Rove, his political guy, who's making all his decisions. But whatever it is, this is a guy, our president, or Karl Rove, who's making the decisions and then trying to justify them. I mean, I don't think George Bush is a scientist, but he's going and actually changing the jobs of scientists. If a scientist says, hey, abortions don't cause breast cancer, then he threatens to get rid of that scientist. And that's another show I need to do at some point, how Bush is manipulating scientific data. We also have the lead story in the Washington Post, today's headlines on Sunday, going into detail about all the lies that Bush said about nuclear weapons. You know, I don't know how anyone can possibly believe the president after reading that article, and I suggest that you go to the web if you don't have access to the Washington Post. Read that article. It just goes on and on and on about all the things that the Bush administration said about Saddam having nuclear weapons and then all the reasons they knew it wasn't true. In fact, a recent poll has shown that 51% of Americans don't believe the president. There's other stuff. I'll try to briefly say it before we move on. We've got Iraqi scientist Amir Saadi, who's being held incommunicado by the Bush administration. They're keeping him quiet unless he tells them what they want to hear. It's really very similar to what he's done with his people at the CIA and elsewhere. And my inside sources tell me that throughout the executive branch, we've got people One guy in Homeland Security told me that he's just never seen it before. They got people in the hallways, and they're whispering, and they look up. They're afraid that someone in the administration might hear what they're saying. They're trying to do their job, trying to tell the truth, but the administration is so concerned to get their idea out there that they have to be very watchful to see what they're saying. In fact, during the energy investigation into Cheney's secret energy commission, the people at the Energy Department were actually told, hey, don't spill your guts when the congressional investigators come to ask you what you were doing. But I got to thank Judicial Watch. They used to bug Clinton, but they I got to give them credit. They sued Bush about the Energy Commission, and they found that long before September 11th, the people on the Energy Commission were already talking about how to split up Iraqi oil fields. Amazing, isn't it? I got more to say. I got more of the scoop, but I'll have to save it for next week because I want to move on to our main topic, gay rights, and I want to talk with our guest, Jay Beatty, about it. So we're going to do that, more on gay rights, and what your views on it are, I want to hear as well. Of course, you can call in. The number is 703-777-1200. Or if you're calling, you're listening on the Internet, you can call toll-free 877-57-SCOOP. Back with more of the Inside Scoop, Jay Beatty, and your calls right after this.
Here's a message about energy-efficient Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first. Different windows can make a big difference in the way you feel about your home. Anderson Windows, with their high-performance, low-E insulating glass, insulate up to 41% better in the summertime than windows with standard dual-pane glass. This means comfort in heat, cold, rain, or shine. Anderson Windows can also help lower your energy bills, and that's bound to give you a good feeling. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows, long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in a book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a NOVEC customer. NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. NOVEC's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novec.com. NOVEC. I got the power to move ya.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. The numbers here are 703-777-1200. Or if you're listening outside of Northern Virginia, Metropolitan Washington, D.C., you can call toll-free. You can also email me. Tried to say them both at once. You can call toll-free, 877-57-SCOOP. Or you can email me, Mark at RadioInsideScoop.com. We're talking about gay rights. Is this Freedom Summer for gay people? Is this the magic summer where gay people get civil rights? Or is this all wrong? One of the things I want to focus on, and we got a lot to talk about, but that it's not just a question of the law. It's not just a question of Canadians granting marriage rights or the Supreme Court of Massachusetts doing it or what's going on in the church and the Episcopal, you know, church allowing an openly gay bishop. This is also a question of our popular media. I mean, gay people were mocked, I guess they're still mocked, but certainly 30 years ago they were nervously whispered about if someone was gay. And 20 years ago, I guess being gay was mostly connected with AIDS, with a deadly disease. And 10 years ago, of course, Congress formally banned gay men and lesbians from serving their country in the military. And at that time, 10 years ago, there was not a single gay character in a prominent or self-affirming role anywhere in the popular media. Boy, that's changed, right? In the 90s, there was a gay character as part of the cast on Melrose Place and MTV's Real World. Then, of course, Ellen DeGeneres brought us the extremely controversial idea that a gay woman actually could have her own TV show. You know, even that seems passé now. We've got Will and Grace, one of NBC's highest-rated shows for, I think, at least 5 years now. Queer as Folk, leading Showtime's ratings. And this summer reality shows like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy and Boy Meets Boy have given Bravo their highest ratings ever. Apparently, just as white people enjoyed programs, you know, like The Cosby Show, I guess straight people like gay shows, too. And one of the things that the right wing, Jay Beatty may not like that characterization. I'm going to give her a chance to speak in just a minute. But one of the things that those who are opposed to gay rights have been doing is starting up a movement called the ex-gay movement. And this is a movement that is trying to change gay people, trying to make people who are oriented toward members of the same sex into members of the opposite sex. And I'm not a big fan of this movement, frankly. I think that it causes a lot of family disturbances and worst-case scenario can lead people to depression or even suicide. So I went to protest. This group came in Northern Virginia, and I went to protest that. And at that protest, I met a woman by the name of Jay Beatty, and she and I talked. And while we certainly disagreed on this issue, I have to tell you, I was very impressed that she and I could talk in a respectful, if disagreeable, disagreeing, if not disagreeable, manner. And, you know, certainly some people there, either the gay people protesting or the people attending the conference, were not quite willing to have that kind of conversation. So I invited Jay to come on the air to discuss why she supports the ex-gay movement and what she thinks generally about all of these questions. So let's see if I can get her on the air right now. Jay? Jay, you on the air?
Yes, I am. Can
okay, terrific. Well, one of the things I guess I first wanted to ask you is why you went to that ex-gay convention and what do you think of that in general, and do you want to comment on anything I've said thus far?
I'd like to start with answering your question.
Okay.
I went to the conference because I was interested in learning about healing ministry for those who struggle with same-sex attractions. I was interested in learning about the process of healing and the factors that contribute to that. And in a very surprising way, I myself have been very profoundly affected by Exodus Ministries.
And how have you been affected by Exodus Ministries?
Well, at a previous event, it was a retreat, I again went to learn more about helping other people and didn't realize that I had in my own life things that had hurt me and caused rejection and a real lack of affirmation in my own life, and it was affecting my relationships even into my adult life. You know, I didn't trust people. I was very dependent on others for their approval, and there was a whole process of spiritual growth and affirmation that took place, and the things that I learned at that conference really started a real turnaround in me.
And
that was a side effect. Imagine what it's like for somebody that the event was designed for.
Well, that's my question. You know, I mean, that's obviously a great side effect. I think things like, you know, group therapy and other ways of spiritual healing are wonderful things. I have no problem with any of that. My question is, well, let's start with the basic principle, all right? And you talked about Exodus, so here's something that I know you know, Jay, but I want to tell my listeners. The founders of Exodus, Gary Cooper and Michael Busey, started this program to try to convert gay people into straights and ended up both leaving their wives and becoming a couple together. And then a more recent head of Exodus, John Paulk, was caught in a gay bar. He actually was on the cover of Newsweek, this guy, John Paulk, on an article, Going Straight? And then later admitted he was gay in a gay bar a few years later. Do you think that Exodus can actually make gay people straight, Jay?
Well, let me rephrase your statement. I don't think they are out to change gay people.
All right.
What they are doing is offering healing ministry to those who struggle and are looking for change. I am not out protesting, you know, at gay rallies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am looking at people that I have known and met in my lifetime that struggled and looking for ways to really make a positive difference in their life in the same way that I was impacted.
But do you think the struggle is because they don't want to be gay, or do you think the struggle is because society, a lot of people are bigoted against gay people and they don't like facing that bigotry?
Well, I think it depends on what you believe is the cause of being gay. If you believe it is inborn And by the way, there's no research that actually says that, including the researchers who did the gene studies, but that's another story. If you believe that it comes from things that happen as you're growing up in your relationships, if there's bonding issues that haven't been resolved, there's any number of things that can contribute to that. And if that's the case, you can go back and deal with those issues. And in many cases, the side effect of same-sex attraction disappears. Now, not in 100% of the cases, probably about 50% of the cases, people who seek therapy and help are able to change and begin to lose their same-sex attraction.
Now, what's interesting about the science that you cite is I know that Freud, for example, had a lot of theories about being gay, being caused by events in your life, and a lot of his early theories, including, you know, why women are the way they are and the sexual attraction of babies, I mean, a lot of them have been discredited. I know that the American Psychological Association completely discredits this science and says that it doesn't have any basis. But, you know, if people want to help people, let me tell you my concern. When I was there at that protest, and I also, by the way, I want to hear from any callers who want to comment on this. Again, the number is 703-777-1200 or 877-57-SCOOP. I talked with some people, and I'll tell you what I saw. I saw parents bringing 16, 17-year-old, 18-year-old kids, usually against their will. Saw a lot of complaining. A lot of times they'd want to talk to us out in the protest, and their parents would shepherd them inside. And I guess my question for you, Jay, is if someone doesn't want to change their sexual orientation, let's say you got a 16-year-old or an 18-year-old, and their parent really wants them to change, but they're happy being gay. What do you think should happen in that case?
Well, it sounds like that's a family that has some issues that they need to address. So my first response would be they probably do need therapy.
Okay. But you know, what kind of therapy? Therapy to change the kid's sexual orientation or therapy to convince the parents to accept him just the way he is or she is?
Well, I would want to explore those issues on both sides and look. See, my experience has been that when you heal the hurt, the rest of it, you know, finds its own place.
And
there are people who are quite comfortable with their sexuality, and you know, I'm not going to go beat them over the head with a Bible.
Okay.
But for the people that are struggling, why would you deny them the chance and the choice to make their own decision?
Well, certainly people can make their own decisions, but perhaps the struggle is not with so much with being gay is accepting that they are gay and accepting, you know, that society is often prejudiced against gay people. You know, one of the things I remember studying when I studied history is that particularly in the 50s and 60s, but even before then, you had a lot of African Americans who were profoundly unhappy being black. And they were unhappy being black because there was a lot of racism in the country. There still is some today, but there was certainly a lot at the time. And so they would get things like skin whiteners and hair straighteners. Mm-hmm. And they would try to not be black anymore. And they would work hard. And I guess I would think that usually it failed. But I guess that's how I see the ex-gay movement. But I want to hear from our callers. Again, the number here is 703-777-1200 or 877-57-SCOOP. And we're going to be back on the air. And we're going to talk not just about ex-gay stuff, but the whole panoply of gay rights with Jay Beatty and Mark Levine, right here, back after this.
Discriminating shoppers throughout the greater Washington, Baltimore area are discovering a new concept in furniture and accessories for the home. Brunelli Home Accents in the Leesburg Corner Premium Outlet Mall. At Brunelli Home Accents, you can browse through a remarkable selection of unique designs, domestic and international, contemporary and traditional. Select a new dining room table by Masterworks, artwork from Artisan House, occasional and dining room tables by Butler Furniture, Italian sofas by FCM Divani, light fixtures, mirrors, and imported vases by Josefina, and of course settings for your table by Brunelli. Located at the Premium Corner Outlet Mall on Fort Evans Road, just off the bypass, Brunelli Home Accents has the designs to satisfy the most discriminating tastes. Stop by soon. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 9, Sundays 11 till 6. Phone 703-771-6900. Brunelli Home Accents. Ah, there's nothing like home improvement projects.
Oh, yeah? What are you planning?
Something to make our skin softer, cleaning easier, laundry softer and brighter.
Uh-huh.
Something that can even lower our utility bills and keep our pipes from clogging.
Oh, really?
And something that'll make our drinking water taste better than ever.
You can do all that in one weekend?
I can do all that in one phone call. Hey, Culligan Man.
For over 65 years, families have been saying, "Hey, Culligan Man," when they need a trusted water expert. Your local Culligan Man can help you choose the system that's just right for your home, and he backs it with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Right now, get both the Culligan water softener and drinking water for one low price, only $9.95 a month for the first 3 months. Enjoy Culligan water for your entire home and our best offer ever. So trust the water experts. Just call today and say,
"Hey, Culligan Man."
Improving your water is easy. Call your local Culligan dealer in Dulles today. You can trust the water experts.
Dealer participation may vary. Visit Culligan.com for details. Expires August 31st.
We're back here with the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking with our guest, Jay Beatty. She supports the ex-gay movement, and I'm understanding that she's opposed to a lot of the gay civil rights that we've talked about, but I want to get her comment on that. I also have a call here. It's Linda from California. Let's see if I can get you both on the air. Linda, are you there? Hello, Linda. Huh. Jay, are you there? Let's try again. How about now? Linda, Jay? Sorry, one more time.
Hello.
Okay, let's see now. Got Linda?
I'm Linda.
Jay, you on too? Oh, I lost Jay. I'm sorry. Well, Linda, why don't you go ahead and make your comment, and then we'll see if we can get back Jay on the air.
Well, what I want to say to Jay is at first she said that she's trying to help those gays who are struggling. She later said she's trying to help gays who are struggling with their gayness. And she just reminds me of the type of people who are anti-choice and say that they're just so incredibly pro-life and want to stop abortion at any rate, but yet do nothing to promote, use of prophylactics. They do nothing to promote adoption. Mm-hmm. All they want to do is stop abortion.
I'll tell you what. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Excuse me?
No, go ahead.
And many gays and lesbians are struggling. They're not struggling because of their orientation. They're struggling because of the laws against them, and if she is so concerned with the struggle of gays and lesbians, there's so many other things that she can do. I mean, I pay taxes. My taxes go to schools, and I personally am a lesbian who chooses not to have children.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's many among our community who are raising families.
Right.
But I don't mind paying taxes that are going to schools for children that I will never have, because I will be growing up with these,
absolutely,
with these people. The smarter they are, the better the world is for me.
Linda, stick around. I want to give Jay a chance to respond, but I just want to make my own comment. One of the things it reminds me of, and I just remember growing up as a little kid, as a Jewish kid in Nashville, Tennessee, and I had lots of people try to convert me to Christianity. And they did it out of love. They did it out of affection. And I don't want in any way to say that people's Christian beliefs or any religious beliefs are bad or insincere. They're not. They did it out of love for me. But at the same time, I, as a Jewish kid, wasn't too happy about them trying to change me to their religion. And, so finally I would go and tell them the benefits of my religion. But I want Jay to have a chance to respond. Hold on one second.
I can hear you.
Jay, you're on the air.
I can hear. Okay, thank you. I could hear you, but I wasn't able to.
Sorry about that.
For you to hear me.
Go right ahead.
Well, we were talking about the ex-gay ministries, not gay people in general. And, you know, if you as a Jewish kid walked into a Christian church, I would assume that you would be looking for some new information. And that's the focus of my comments.
Yeah, but what do you think about parents bringing in their kids where the kid really doesn't want to go? They say, "Hey, I'm gay." You know, mom, dad, you know, learn. Learn a little fact. Maybe they should. The kids should take the parents into the gay and lesbian center so the parents can see that there's nothing wrong with being gay.
Maybe they need to do both.
Maybe so.
Then they would have a choice as a family to make, and they would have an informed decision to make.
I'd like to get you and Linda both on the air together. Linda, are you there? I'm sorry, we're having a bit of technical problems. I'm going to try one more time to get you both on the air.
Mark?
I'm sorry about that, Linda. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Jay, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, I got you both.
I just have, Mark, if I could quickly jump in. I just
sure.
have one comment where you had said if you walked into a gay church that you would assume, Jay assumed that you were looking for information. Where I grew up on Plainview, Long Island in the 60s, there were blue laws. Now, it was later that I learned about separation of church and state.
Yeah.
But as a Jew, I was not allowed to shop on Sundays. The stores were closed.
Right.
I mean, so that's far from Christianity staying in its churches.
I think the other thing... I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's far more reaching than if, you know, Christianity is readily available in the churches. And if we as Jews or we as Muslims or we as what have you want to go and seek out Christianity, we know where it's available. Christianity has always, just regardless of, well, I guess they made it law. There is no separation of church and state.
But
they were able to get away with these blue laws for a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, Linda, the other point I'd point out is that I don't think that a kid growing up gay has any trouble seeing straight role models. 99% of television shows and movies and books and so forth show a man and a woman, a husband and wife, so I don't think they'd have any problem seeing a straight role model. Where a gay kid may have trouble, if he or she is outside of Los Angeles or New York or Washington, D.C., is seeing gay role models, and so may not even understand that there are people living successful, happy lives being gay. And so that's another problem I guess I have with ex-gay ministries, is that I see that the culture all around us affirms heterosexuality. Why shouldn't a gay kid have a chance to affirm themselves? I don't know. What do you say, Jay?
I was not able to really hear what Linda had to say, so
I'm sorry.
Not going to be able to respond to her.
Okay. Well, go ahead. You can respond to me then. How's that?
All right. Well, you know, there are many different groups in this country. We have a great deal of tolerance, and honestly, I don't see a lot of conservative Christians in good role models on television either.
Yep.
There are differences in all of our beliefs, and I think we need to have a respect for one another.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
All right, Linda, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
I do want to move on to talk about other issues, not just ex-gay ministries, specifically the question of gay marriage. And I'm holding in front of me a cartoon by Tom Tolles in the Washington Post that I like and I'm reading. And it shows a couple at a wedding, a male and female couple, and they're getting married, a man and a woman. And the people in the audience are talking. And one says, it's her third wedding and his fifth. And the other one says, she's marrying him for his money. He's marrying her for the sex. She cheated on all her spouses. So did he. It will last less than a year. But at least they're not gay. Tradition. And I guess that article to me expresses some of the... I don't understand why it is that straight people could be against gay marriage. I mean, no one is going to force straight people to go into a gay marriage. So how is it that in any way a gay marriage harms straight people? Are you still there, Jay?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Do you think that the gay marriage, I mean, you got 50% of straight marriages ending in divorce. Do you think that the availability of gay marriage has anything in Canada or elsewhere has anything to do with it? Why should straight people be concerned about gay marriage?
Well, first of all, because marriage is a sacrament, and it is, if you want to have a civil union, you know, that's legal, that's a different story than having...
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you... And then...
I'm here. I'm sorry about that. This is the first time, I got to tell you, I've had two callers on the air at the same time, so there have been some technical problems. Go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry.
That's all right. If you want approval by the church, it is a sacrament, and it is a different story than a legal partnership or a civil union.
Well, let's divide them up, all right? Because we've got civil marriage, which is the rights that the state, both state and federal government, give to people. And there's, of course, the religious sacrament of marriage. Do you support equal rights, in other words, civil marriage for gay people, even if you're against it in the religious sphere?
If the culture decides that that's acceptable, then the culture will decide that. I may not approve of that, but I think they should have the same financial protection and, if some of the issues are related to, you know, visiting family members in the hospital or insurance benefits or things like that, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay, so it sounds like you, while you may not choose a gay marriage for yourself, that you don't mind the fact that two people, two strangers to you, might want to have a civil marriage. Again, you might disagree on a religious basis.
Yeah, my biggest problem is that marriage was instituted by God, and not only as a means for man and woman to enjoy each other and have children, but it represents his love for his church. I mean, the church was called the Bride of Christ. He loves us very passionately, and if we take something that he has given us as a model of his love, and we decide we're going to change the definition of it, then, you know, how can you just say, oh, what's the problem with that?
Okay, and I want to deal with religious marriages, but let me just sort of finish the basic point here. Do you believe in the separation of church and state?
I guess take a whole other show.
All right, so I guess the answer is depends. Maybe that's the answer. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't.
The current cultural definition of church and state is completely false.
Okay, but you wouldn't want someone imposing their religion on you. I mean, Orthodox Jews say you can't eat pork. You wouldn't want them to pass a law saying no pork in the United States, right?
Of course
not. Of course not. So, you know, I mean, I think you can understand why gay people would say, hey, you know, you can have your religion, and that's fine, but, you know, I mean...
But they're redefining marriage and family completely.
Well, let's talk about that. Marriage, of course, and that's the problem with the word marriage, is that it's both a civil right and a religious right, R-I-T-E. So
right.
It's a civil right, R-A-G-H-T, and a religious right, R-I-T-E. It's both.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe marriage... You know, maybe the government should have civil unions for everybody, straight and gay, and should make no distinction between them, and we could just save marriage for the religious folk. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I still think it creates problems in the culture. I mean,
how does it create problems in the culture?
Let me use another example that might make it a little more clear. A generation or two ago, if people lived together, it was considered a disgrace. They were looked down upon. There were all sorts of consequences for that behavior. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It was considered wrong and sinful.
Right.
Okay. Now, it's barely a yawn when somebody lives together before they get married.
Right.
Okay. It still has the same consequences of destroying intimacy shortcutting people's relationships because they have a more chance of getting a divorce and more chance of violence and abuse in the relationship.
And I have
that
no,
hasn't changed.
Okay, and I have no problem with a church or a family member or a parent telling their kids, you know, I don't think you should live together before you're married. I think that's a perfect role of the church. But do you think that the state should ban that?
If the state wants to promote healthy society, then it makes laws that promote that.
So you ban living together before marriage. Would you ban divorce?
No, wait a second. I didn't say that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. You can take any cultural question, divorce or any of the things that we've talked about.
Right.
My point is they are, quote, wrong for a reason. They hurt people. Okay. You know, God gave us divorce because of our hard hearts, because we're selfish.
Okay.
All right. And so...
But there are abusive relationships, and sometimes divorce makes sense, right?
I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. There are abusive relationships, and sometimes divorce makes sense,
right? Absolutely. I would never support someone staying in a marriage where there was abuse.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Hold on one second, Jay. We've got Tara from Chicago. She's got comments for both of us. I'm going to try this mighty phone system again. Hold on one second. Are you both on the air now?
I can hear you.
I got you both. Tara, are you on the air?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. What's your comment?
My comment was just, and as I was dialing in, I think you were hitting on it, and so I'm not exactly sure what you said.
Okay.
Because I was dialing. But,
no problem.
My point was, back as far as a civil issue, I think that a lot of people are concerned about the marriage and family, and the family emphasis there, as far as adoption of children into same-sex marriages, and the effect on the children if they are not gay, and whether they know or not when they're small. Obviously, they may not know yet, but how society is going to now discriminate against them.
Well, one of the interesting things about that, Tara, is that, one, the statistics I've seen is that kids raised by gay parents turn out to be 90% straight, the same ratio that's in the ordinary community. So I haven't seen any emphasis on that. But the second point you raise about discrimination, there's no question. I'm sure, again, it depends on where they live. I don't think a gay couple raising kids in New York or Los Angeles or Washington, D.C., there's going to be that much discrimination. But certainly, I'm sure if they're in Idaho or Mississippi, there's going to be some. And there was a lot of discrimination, and there still is, with more a few years ago, with kids in interracial couples. Mm-hmm. You've got a black person marrying a white person. And as you may well know, those kind of marriages were banned in many states in the United States, including here in Virginia, until the late 60s when the Supreme Court overturned them. So what do you think, so granted, there will be discrimination. What do you think should happen then? Should we allow gay marriages or not?
Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, as far as just the marriage goes, I don't have a problem with that at all. I think that's fine. What two adults want to do is to adopt. But
Adoption is your problem?
Fine, allow them marriages, but maybe a little more scrutiny as far as the adoption process.
Well, one of the things,
you know, and obviously with two women, they can, or I guess two men as well, could go out and find a surrogate mother on their own who would be willing to have a baby for them if they so chose. But I don't know. It's a difficult issue, and my other comment kind of goes back a little bit past an issue you're already past. I don't think that you can quote unquote fix people, or I think organizations somewhat like Exodus promote discrimination and prejudice, even though they're not trying. And so I think, you know, I just worry about kids, and I understand. Well, I would certainly hope that the children I'm raising would not be discriminatory at all, but and I'd get all over them if they were, but I just think.
And you could have gay grandkids someday too, Tara, and you wouldn't want your kids to be, you know, or you don't, I guess you don't know about your own kids. I mean, you never know. And it seems to me that the concern about kids is a little misplaced, because I think the answer is, and I'm going to give Jay a chance to respond too, but I think the answer is there's all kinds of people in this world. You know, you got good gay parents, you got bad gay parents, you got good straight parents, you got bad straight parents. I do think this. I do think that kids raised in a home with two loving parents do better than kids raised in a home with one loving parent. I just think it's easier to raise a child if you got two people in the home.
Mm-hmm.
But if this, and so unless you're going to start, you know, banning single-parent homes, which I don't think anyone really wants to do, I got to say, I think the gay couple's preferable. I don't know. You agree with me or not?
Well, I think that if you look at what the courts try to do as far as adoption with minorities, they do a lot to try to keep minorities with minority couples.
Right.
So if you go along with that same sort of thinking...
I'm not sure I do, but go ahead.
you know, it's going to be, you know, it's, you should perhaps try to do the same with children to keep them... an environment, and obviously you're not going to know when a kid is born if they're gay or not.
That's right. Just give them a lot of love. Jay, what do you have a point to make?
Well, I think you're missing the fact that there is a different role of male and female in the family, and it's very obvious. It, you know, I gave my little boys dolls and trucks to play with, and they threw the dolls across the room like footballs, and my little girls made the trucks mommy truck and daddy truck and baby truck.
So your girls do like trucks. That's good. See, that's gender nonconformity there.
But what I'm saying is they relate differently, okay? You know, mom says be careful. Dad says, come on, take your first step.
Concern, Jay, is that you may be absolutely right with regard to 90% of women and 90% of men, that more women are like that and more men are like that. I'm not going to dispute you on that. But I think you'd have to agree with me that it's not true that 100%.
My point is there is a role for a mother and a father in the development, the healthy development of a child. If you're in a family where there is an abusive father, do you think that child is going to grow up and think that men are really neat guys to hang around?
Probably not.
Probably not.
What happens to somebody who's in a single-parent household?
Well, I think there's a very great danger
if they do not try
to include the opposite parent role models,
Even if they're bad people.
You got a
single parent household where the father's a bad guy. What do you do then? It's tough.
A single parent household where the father is a bad guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You got the mother raising the kids and the dad's a bad guy. Should the mother then allow the father to have?
No, absolutely not. But
so
she should.
She should have other
make sure
men.
That there are other positive role models for her child.
Jay, let me just agree with you that, and I hope I'm agreeing with you. And then I got to take a commercial. But I certainly believe that a child raised by two gay men should definitely have women around as role models, and I think a child raised by two lesbians definitely should have men around as role models, and maybe on that we can agree. But first,
we
I got it. Good. I got to take a commercial break.
Okay.
So we're going to be back more with the Inside Scoop right after this.
Jenkins Nissan, you're going to love our style.
At Jenkins Nissan of Frederick, they speak the universal language of savings. And they've got a great deal for you no matter what language you speak or what you're looking for. Right now, Jenkins is offering $1,500 cash back plus 1.9% financing on Xterras. Plus huge savings on 2003 Sentras. Get $1,500 cash back or 0.9% financing. And for a limited time only, choose from $3,000 cash back or $1,500 plus 0.9% financing on Sentra GXEs.
Hi, I'm Steve Latour, sales associate at Jenkins Nissan in Frederick. Stop in and see me today and test drive your new Nissan. At Jenkins Nissan, no matter what language you speak, we speak your language.
Hi, I'm Priscilla, sales associate at Jenkins. Hola, soy Priscilla, asistente de ventas en Jenkins Nissan de Frederick. Están bienvenidos aquí en Manele y fue tu nuevo Nissan. En Jenkins, no importa qué idioma hablas, nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
Jenkins Nissan of Frederick, at the corner of East and 9th Streets. Visit them online at frederick.com or jenkinsmotors.com. Subject to credit approval through NMAC.
Time. There never seems to be enough of it, and you spend so much time in your car, waiting at traffic lights, trapped in gridlock. Time wasted. Until now. The Atorganizer 9000 makes your traffic time productive time. Attaching securely to your dashboard, the Atorganizer 9000 gives you space for your laptop, PDA, cell phone, headphone, and MP3 player with built-in...
Hold on there, boss. There are a lot of ways to steal some productive time back from Loudoun County traffic. But the smartest way is to avoid the heaviest traffic altogether, on the Dulles Greenway. You can drive from Leesburg to Dulles in about 15 minutes, 65 miles an hour the whole way. No traffic lights, no traffic hassles. And for less than your monthly cell phone bill, the Greenway may be the best investment you make every day. Oh yeah, and you can probably hit the snooze button and still get into the office early. The Dulles Greenway. Don't stress, just drive.
We're back here on the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking about gay rights. And we've got here Jay Beatty, my guest, who disagrees with me. And it's always nice to have some people who disagree on the air. Trying to work the phones to get everyone on the air. One of the things that I'd like to talk about briefly is we've got Gene Robinson, the Episcopal, openly gay Episcopal bishop, that's just been ordained. And I got another cartoon by Tom Tolles that I like. And you got a guy, and he's hanging his head, and he's saying, "An openly gay bishop? No!" And a woman responds, "I'm sure he's not the first gay bishop that's ever been." And the guy says, "Well, I guess I can live with a gay bishop. That's better," she says. "But an honest one?" He's got his head to his hands. How do you forgive that?
So, one of the things that I think people have to focus on is a lot of times, you know, you have gay people, but they're serving in like in the military. They're in hiding. And so we do have gay bishops and gay doctors and gay lawyers and everything. And people don't even know they're gay. And I got to give Robinson credit because at least he's willing to be open about it. And one of the things I also want to talk about, and we don't have a lot of time left, but when Gene Robinson was about to be elected, a charge came up of inappropriate touching. And again, I give Gene Robinson credit, now I should say Bishop Robinson. He said, "I want to investigate this thoroughly. I want to investigate it completely and find out what's going on here." And I got to contrast that with George Bush, for example, who didn't want to investigate the what's going on September 11th. Or with, Justice Thomas, who didn't want to investigate his charges of harassment. Turns out the inappropriate touching was his putting his hands on somebody's back and shoulder as comfort. And I just don't think that a straight person would have that charge made against them, that he put his hands on my back. And I frankly think that that's a sign of prejudice. I guess the other point I would make, and then I'm going to give Jay one last chance to make a point, is that particularly with regard to gay people in the military, that we need all Americans, that we're fighting terrorism here. We've got
In fact, there were documents that came in on September 10th warning us of some catastrophic event on September 11th that were never translated because we don't have a sufficient number of Arabic translators. And we have gay people who are tops in their class in Arabic translation, and they were fired because they're gay. And I just think we need everyone's help. You know, when Mark Bingham, that hero on Flight 93 that crashed in Pennsylvania, a gay man on a San Francisco rugby team, he came in and he helped take down that plane with all the other heroic passengers on board. And again, the fact that he's gay shouldn't matter at all.
I don't know. Jay, do you have a final comment? Are you on the air, Jay? One more time. Sorry.
Hello?
Jay, yes.
Yes.
Do you have a final comment before we sign off?
Yes, I think that gay people should be able to serve in many ways. And my major problem is in situations that where they would be a role model, such as a teacher or a gay bishop, where the church has criteria for leadership related to, you know, can you discipline your children? Are you prone to drinking? You
well, let me leave out the bishop case for a moment. Why can't a gay person be a good teacher?
I didn't say they couldn't be a good teacher.
Okay.
What I said is if you believe that that comes as a developmental problem, you know, a lack of bonding or something else that's going on in a child, if that's part of the reason, the contributing factor, then that would be a very important thing to look at related to being a role model for children because I think it's something that shows up in everything that you do.
I got to tell you, Jay, this issue first came up in the late 70s in California. They actually had a vote way back 30 years ago or 20-something years ago. And the people of California voted it down. And I think the reason they tried to basically fire teachers for being gay, I think the reason is that people understand that children are exposed to an enormous number of influences, all kinds, parents, church, state, schools, and so forth, good and bad, straight and gay, mostly straight, and that it's having one gay teacher is not going to make a kid gay. Now, I would agree it'd be inappropriate to talk about, you know, sex acts in the classroom, but that's inappropriate for gay or straight.
That's true.
So I don't know if I've convinced you there, but I do want to thank you, Jay, for coming on. I know it's difficult to, you know, come in on the air and take me on, and I really appreciate your being willing to do this, and though we clearly disagree, being able to disagree in a respectful manner, and I really appreciate your coming on the air.
I appreciate the opportunity, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
Well, we've got about another minute left, and I just want to point out that if you like what you hear, or if you don't, that I welcome your comments. We didn't have a lot of time for calls today because we had a guest, but we will have time next week. And if there's a topic that you would like heard discussed on the Inside Scoop that I haven't discussed, you think I should discuss, a point you think I need to mention, please email me. Just send your email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. Next week, we're going to delve into California politics. I got to tell you, I'm not just someone who worked on Capitol Hill. I'm also somebody who worked as a lawyer out in California. In fact, I served as elections attorney for the Democratic Party. And I want to talk about this crazy recall election. I want to talk about, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and all the others. And do you think the recall is a good idea? But I want to make it broader than California. I want to talk in general about elections and procedures, and should we follow the rules or shouldn't we? My view is that the Republican Party in the last few years has become extremely anti-democratic. No, I'm not talking about the Democratic Party. I'm saying that they've become against democracy, whether it's in elections or procedures or gerrymanders in Texas, whatever it is. We are seeing more and more cases where the Republicans just don't want to play by the rules. And I want to talk about that next week. I want to talk about the recall election. I want to talk about the party. And I also want to hear from you. So don't forget, you can always email me, mark@radioinsidescoop.com. And I'll hear you next week.
AM 1200 WAGE, Leesburg and Loudoun County, is your sound choice for news.